Five, four, three.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
This is the Game of Geeks podcast, your one-stop shop for news and reviews for video, card, and tabletop games, with your hosts CJ, Raul, and Brendan.
All right. This is the Gamer Geek Show, episode Alpha Beta number 2, recorded August 28th, 2016. I'm your host, CJ Boat, and joining me, of course, as will be always, are Raul and Brendan. Hello, fellows.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
You want us to both start talking?
Well,
all right, we can
I
both
got,
do that.
This going on, and I'm not really like I'm looking at you, but I'm not really looking at you. You know how it is.
Yes, I do. In fact, How are you, Raul?
Well, I survived one more day in Texas heat, so November, December can't get here soon enough. That's when we actually cool down.
Yeah, I feel you. Although last year it was like 90 here in Florida at Christmas, so yeah. Yeah, this is another Gamer Geeks show, guys. We're back doing some more news reviews for some of your favorite Vidya and tabletop games. You guys been playing anything interesting that we're not reviewing today?
Let's see. I've just been messing around. I was messing around with Google stuff, and I haven't been really doing too much.
Yeah, I'm back in school, so like game time is super limited.
See, I've just been playing the pre-launch event for Legion.
God, I can't tell you. I'm actually looking at it, buying that.
Well, no, I got my second level 100 character.
I want to play a Demon Hunter so bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what? I don't think I've said it here. I told another friend of mine. I had more fun leveling from 90 to 100 in the pre-launch of Legion than I did in Warlords.
That's good, because that I got my Death Knight to 100, and that was just, like, miserable.
Oh. I think we talked about Garrison's last week, but yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because I'm like, I think I might have gotten my... No, I got my Warlock to, like, 92, and then I literally just screamed at my monitor and was just done.
Yeah. Well, I mean... And the only thing the Legion pre-launch event is, it's just kill demons, kill some more demons.
But you're not in your freaking garrison, so that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're flying around the six same zones, three on Calendar and three on Azure.
I like those zones, though. They're very good-looking zones.
Yeah, and what's great is that they, no matter what level you are, they scale to you. That's the leveling technology that they're going to use for Legion,
glorious.
To keep the whole continent relevant, because Boyan Tundra turned into a barren desert after launch.
Oh, yeah.
Except for people who were running their dailies. Oh, my God, Lynch King dailies.
Dude.
I want this to so much be like Lynch King 2.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'm tempted to, but I'm going to wait a couple of weeks for you and, like, Matt to tell me what the actual, like, content is like, and then I'll think about picking it up.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it until probably end of September.
Okay, well, then I will wait for Matt to tell me if I should buy it or not.
Though I might just break down and buy it Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how strong my willpower is between now and then.
So, in other words, you're going to have it on Tuesday.
I bought it when they announced it, and they had the pre-order. I haven't even been on in a while. I just haven't had the time with all work and stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah. Are they still giving you a free 100 with this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I could get a monk up to 100 without leveling it.
All right. We'll see you Tuesday, CJ. We'll do a live stream.
We could.
Freaking.
We could do it. We can write it off as a business expense.
Not wrong. Get 40% of that back. Yay, taxes. Let's go ahead and before we get into news, we're just going to take a quick break and listen to a couple of words from our sponsors, and right after that, we will be into the news. Stay tuned. It's all I have for right now. Give me a break. I haven't had time to do anything with it yet.
On to the news.
Yeah, I can't find that one.
What? It's in the box, isn't it?
Hold on. Here it is.
On to the news.
There.
Okay. I'm satisfied.
Is that better? I appreciate it. I love you too. All right. So this is the news segment where we talk about the latest video game, tabletop, and other news. We're going to start off with a follow-up to our story from one of our reviews from last week. Everybody's given refunds for No Man's Sky, regardless of the playtime. Bad trombone.mp3.
Who's returning No Man's Sky? Like, why? Why would you do
actually
that?
Actually thinking about doing it.
Why would you do that? It's such a fun time. I'm having such a good time with it.
To pick up Legion.
Well, that's one way to get it.
Also, God Eater is coming on Steam, finally. And, like, that game's really great, and I've only ever played it in Japanese, and I'd like to understand what's going on in it. As much as a Japanese action RPG could ever be understood.
Yeah.
I'm looking at giant flaming whales on Metal Gear Solid.
But how, like, if you return No Man's Sky, how are you going to discover new planets?
That look almost identical to the other ones?
Like, I don't know. I've been to no planets that look the same. All of them. But that's...
Yeah, I'm about to say, dude... I've been to... The only planet that's been drastically different that I've discovered is that horrible hellscape of an acid ocean planet.
Yeah, I've landed on so many moons and just been like... I just love it when you're on a moon and you look out over the edge of the moon and you just see the planet rising next to you and you're like, I'm going to fly straight to that planet. And you just take off that moon and just fly straight down there. And it just makes you feel like... And then that music kicks in that they have specially... And you're just like... You're feeling like a badass flying through space. Like, that's all I need it for.
I'll probably buy it again when, like, they do the patches that they need to do on it. But that game needs some love. I did the same thing with Arkham Knight. I bought it twice. I refunded it the first time. And then I bought it again when it was fixed. So, I mean, it's not that I'm never going to play this, and it's Steam Cloud, so my data's never lost.
That's true.
Yeah.
So me returning it, not really a big deal.
And then you'll buy it again when it drops down to $20, when everybody's exactly. Like...
During the winter sale this year, when it goes on sale at Christmas time, I'll buy it again.
So
okay, I think you have me sold. I'm going to return it.
So, Hello Games was a new developer, right?
Correct.
And they're not indie, right?
No, they're super indie.
And they're
all they've done is a couple phone games. Like, I don't even know what they are. I'd have to look them up.
I don't even know why this. I mean, this game got so much hype for an indie game. This has more hype than several AAA titles do. And there's no way it could have lived up to everybody's expectations. And I kind of said this last week, where I was like, I like it, I really do. But, right now, it's literally just a time waster. And that's kind of not what I want out of it. I started doing the Atlas path, and I'm like, okay, certainly there will be some semblance of a storyline here. Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
How would you have felt if it was $30 with in-game transaction?
You said $30 and I'd be sold.
No, but $30 with microtransactions.
Can I buy more bag space with microtransactions?
I would do that. That's what I want.
That's my question. In your hypothetical world, can I buy more bag space with microtransactions?
Why not? Yes.
Then, yes, shut up and take my money.
And they would end up making more money than $60 on every copy.
I'll spend $60, $30 to buy the game, and $30 to max out my inventory. I'm okay with that.
And
Hello Games, the only other game they have that they've developed is a game called Joe Danger, where you're a motorcycle racer. And, that's not enough credentials for me.
Yeah, not to have the hype that this game had. And I'm sorry, like I said, I really like it, and I really want to, like, absolutely love it. Because, like I said, like, the games, like, Skyrim and GTA, like, I'm always, oh, what's that shiny thing over there? The entire game is, oh, what's that shiny thing over there? But with Skyrim, I can go kill an awesome dragon and then, like, get a semblance of a storyline out of it.
That's one game that I do need to, I actually need to sit down. Probably this Christmas, it will be Skyrim Christmas.
Going to be doing the HD refresh of it by then. So, it'll be a perfect time to do it. We'll actually have the HD remix by Extra Life, so...
Yeah, no, but is it going to be on PC and console?
If you've bought the game on anything, like any of the current-gen consoles or PC, you're getting that for free.
Okay. The winter sale, it should go on sale, like, for, what, $5, $7, I think?
I don't know if it will with the HD remake. I don't, or with the everything put into it. I don't know. Might, it might not. All right. So, Brendan, what you got for us?
Hold on one second. Okay. What do you mean?
What news do you have for us, Brendan?
You're not wrong. I have some news. So, have either of you ever played the Mafia games? You know, like, I got big on Mafia 2. I know you hate every game I play, CJ.
Wait, when has this been a thing?
It's just how it works.
Sure. Yeah, then, yes, Brendan, I absolutely hate every game that you play. Is that how this works? Am I supposed to agree? Yeah. Wink!
Well, Ed, you know how I'm big into the music thing, right?
You never. I want my intro.
I'm working on it. But Mafia 3, the sequel to Mafia 2, surprisingly enough.
Wow.
I didn't believe it either. I've been waiting for Mafia 3 for a ridiculous amount of time. I love Mafia 2. Mafia 3 is coming.
This is pretty much the ripoff of GTA, right? Like,
no,
GTA, it's Max Payne.
Well, okay. The first games during that generation were just almost like a ripoff of GTA, but then they morphed into their own games.
Oh, so like Saints Row.
Yes, Saints Row is a completely different beast altogether.
This is what happened. GTA started it, Saints Row made it ridiculous, and then Mafia stayed more towards like a grounded historical background where they're following through decades.
Legit.
And this Mafia 3 takes place in 1960. You play as a character that just got back from Vietnam, and it has a ridiculous soundtrack. Like, I love songs from the 60s. They're like it blow my mind. And there is so many good songs on this soundtrack. Over 100 songs from the 60s. It's ridiculous.
Nice. Nice. When is that game coming out?
I don't even remember. I have it pre-ordered, though.
Hey, Brendan.
Yeah?
You're a games journalist now. You might want to take this information down.
Actually, I wrote that down on my notepad here.
And type.
Initial release date for Mafia 3 is October 7th.
Yeah, that's what I had written down.
Thank you, Brendan. That was quite informative of you.
Fantastic.
All right. What else we got on video game news there, Raul?
Okay. This is more of a in security note news for PlayStation Network. Finally, PlayStation Network gets a two-factor authentication.
Maybe
it won't go down this this holiday season while you're playing your brand new shiny games.
No, it'll still go down. You just won't have to worry about your games and credit card being stolen.
True.
Cheers. Take my stuff. I can't wait for this to actually to set this up.
I have to decide what I'm doing with my PlayStation 4. It's actually sitting here in front of me under a pile of crap. I haven't even touched it in a ridiculous amount of time.
Oh, right now mine's just mainly being used for Crunchyroll and Funimation.
Oh, I've been touching my PlayStation 4 all week.
This is a PG-13 podcast, Raul. Nobody wants to hear about you touching your PS4. All right. Yeah, I'm stoked for I two-factor authenticate all of the things. So I'm excited for this.
Finally they're going to have some kind of security, because it's a pain having to reset everything every time they get hacked.
Exactly.
Cuz what, in the past 2 years they've been hacked what, 3 times?
Something like that. PlayStation 3, PlayStation TV, PlayStation Vita, PSP, and certain Xperia devices don't support the entry of security codes, so you won't be able to sign in using the method of receiving a code via text. Instead, you'll have to use an app password, which Sony refers to a device setup password. The process is similar to the way that you would sign into Xbox Live on an Xbox 360 if you've enabled two-factor authentication on there.
Oh, so Xbox already has the feature, so...
Yeah, so that's interesting, considering I have a Vita, so that's fine. I'm thinking about buying a PlayStation TV so I could play my Vita games and stream them.
Yeah, I have a paperweight too. If you want it, a PS Vita.
Dude, I play my Vita all the time.
I'm actually looking at the games that are on the Vita, and they all seem like I want those games.
Dude, it's your perfect weeaboo RPG like homework.
They have Chrono Trigger on there. You can download Chrono Trigger on the.
Yes, you can. And Chrono Cross. On the PlayStation Network on there.
Yeah, the only thing is that you go to the RPGs on the PSN store and they're all for PS3. But if you want to play PS3 games, you can play them on the PS4. But you can't play PS1 games.
Hopefully they'll fix that with 4.0 coming out. Yeah, like, just make those PS3 games that you can buy. Just let us play the digital purchase games on... The on our PS4s. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, speaking of PS3, I tried the 7-day trial for PlayStation Now.
Yeah, me too.
And wow.
Yeah, I like it. There's actually a lot more stuff in there than I thought. Hey, by the way, guys, throwback the last week. PlayStation Now is an absolute ripoff of Sega Channel. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, but the Sega Channel was like back in the mid-90s.
Late 90s. And your data connection came over coax cables.
Well, mine still comes over coax cable.
Yeah, shut up and get off my phone. They put a lot of great RPGs on there, including like White Knight Chronicles, which is one of the greatest games of the PS4 era, or PS3 era.
Yeah, they added a good chunk of them just
last week.
There's
Mega Man 9 and 10 on there, which are both fantastic games. Well, 10 is. 9 is janky as all get out.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for Mega Man.
Mega Man 9 is hard for hard's sake.
Okay.
Which, if I wanted that, I'd be playing Dark Souls more. All right, so we're going to move on into the Blizzard corner. All right, we're going to start off with some Overwatch news. There's a new patch up on the PTR, the public test realm over there, with the Season 2 patch note, or with what we're getting with Season 2 on the regular game here in a couple of weeks, probably. The few things, if your ultimate drains your status or your bar, like, say, McCree's, it's going to do it a lot faster now. So, haha, McCree. So, when activating needs healing communication while targeting an ally, Ana, Lucio, Mercy, and Zenyatta will now tell allies to group up on to receive healing. A marker will appear above the player's head, allowing teammates to locate their healer more quickly. Which is really, really cool. Oh, here's something great. Torbjorn is now an AI-controlled hero in Practice vs. AI. sit and laugh emotes are unlockable for all heroes. The skills, the Season 2 stuff that we went through, the level 5,000. If you are a Grandmaster, which means you have 4,000 rank, you can only play with Master and Grandmasters in your group. Players that are Diamond tier and below must still be within 1,000 skill ranking of all of their groupmates.
But that's only in the competitive mode.
Yeah, competitive mode, yes.
Okay. So you,
casual mode is casual mode. You can just play through that regardless.
So if you're a Grandmaster, you can only play with Masters and other Grandmasters?
Yes.
But
as long as you're within 1,000 ranks of your teammates, you can play with them if you're Diamond or lower. Competitive point changes. Hero balance updates. The weird thing that made projectiles smaller than they actually needed to be is getting fixed.
Oh, because they used to be bigger and now they had to, they shrunk them and they went too far.
Yeah, they went way too far. Like the, I was just getting good with Genji's, shurikens and then they shrunk down to like half their size. And basically he's a sniper as it is, and like when they're half their size and you're like literally a pixel off, then they miss. That is the most frustrating thing in the world. Hero abilities will not interrupt quick melee attacks anymore, which was also great. if you, Genji, and you're interrupting my melee.
real quick, so they're changing it back to the big old basketball size.
Yes, thankfully. Speaking of going too far, D.Va's getting a nerf after getting buffed. Her defense matrix will regenerate following a 1 second delay. Right now it's half a second. Which she feels kind of OP if you're not actually shooting. You just stand there and you just hit the button, you just take your hands off, you hit the button, you take your hands off. Like,
I mean, she's pretty much a medium range Reinhardt, isn't she?
But if you play her shield right, her shield is better than Reinhardt's.
Yes, because it can actually, does it take the wheel out?
Yes. It does not get through the wheel because her shield is way in front of her. Reinhardt's is right in front of his face.
Yeah, and the wheel can get through the shield easy. I mean, it can just goes right through.
Exactly. Hanzo is experiencing a 30% decrease in speed while aiming. Right now it's 40%.
Yeah, Hanzo needs a lot of work.
His maximum projectile speed is being increased by 30%. And his arrow size is being decreased or being reduced by 33% because his arrows are gigantic.
Yeah, which is always interesting. I mean, we see the game as a user, but as a developer, they see everything in blocks.
Yes, exactly. It's like, these arrows are massive. They're like 32 pixels apart across. They actually, they put developer comments up on there. By the way, every other Blizzard game, look at Overwatch and how their mods and everything are handling everything and do that. Like, seriously. Because WoW's public face has went down a lot since Greg Street left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, May. My favorite character.
May got a buff!
Her Blizzard projectile now pierces barriers.
Yes! And her radius is now 10 meters.
So it'll go through Reinhardt's shield, her wall.
Her brick wall, Diva Shield, all of it is now. Every person is now victim to the adorableness that is May's evilness.
But I guess barriers means walls too, right? So it's a.
I don't think that would be a little too much. I think Hanzo's is already ridiculous by being able to go through walls.
Yeah, it's like you hear Hanzo and then you're like, "Where's Hanzo?" And then you see like 2 seconds later.
Right through a wall. it's kind of cool where like when you're playing Hanzo and you stand right behind a checkpoint on the escort missions, you're like, "All right, watch the bar go across," and they're like 3 inches away. They're like 3 pixels away from the checkpoint. You know they're all right there. And then you just, boom, team kill.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun getting that.
Mercy's getting a buff.
Again?
Her healing has been increased by 20%, which is cool. And her resurrected allies will be able to maneuver after 2.25 seconds, reduced from 3 seconds, which is actually quite a big deal.
Yeah, because you're stationary for the full 3 seconds while you're still
glowing. And you're just like a massive glowing target at that point. Lucio's getting a nerf. His boost of movement speed has been decreased by 30%.
The chain hook nerf. Oh, man.
Yeah, sorry, Red Hawk. You can no longer do a weird, like... It kind of makes sense, because that way you're not hooking people into that well.
Well, no, you can still do that.
Yeah, true.
If the hook target isn't in Roadhog's line of sight when retracting the hook, I've seen it to where it'll hook them, but they're behind a wall and it pulls them through the wall.
Oh, that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's because they move slightly Genji does it, and also Tracer.
True.
Because Tracer, you can hook her right before she gets in, in the middle of her boost, you can hook her.
Ah. Well, I mean, she is kind of a hooker. I love you, Tracer, but yeah.
PG-13, CJ.
Soldier 76 is getting kind of a balance. His spread is going to go a little bit faster, but it's also going to reset faster, which is pretty good, because if you burst fire like I do with him, like you're, you know, supposed to, it's annoying when you release the button and you're still firing as a spread. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to do that. And Zenyatta's getting a boost.
No.
His
decrease.
Decrease and increase. His Discord is getting a decrease. Discord's getting a nerf from 50% damage amplified to 30%. And his Orb of Destruction is getting increased from 40 to 46.
Because Discord, all you need to do is be line of sight. You press your E and it automatically hits them, right?
Yeah. Gibraltar is getting its first checkpoint removed, which is, I didn't realize that was a thing that needed to be removed, but sure.
We're also getting talking about maps, I think that's the only map balance.
We're getting a new map, though. With tons of freaking
dead bastions everywhere.
Easter eggs in it. Like, there's so much cool stuff in there. Go look at some of the videos online about it. We're getting allies' health bars options. Display your ally health bars, which is going to be nice.
I'm still waiting for the sound option so I can push it through a different port.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because that's what I have in WoW, so I can turn up my music, but like turn down WoW or something like
that. Yeah. Contextual menus have been added on the hero selection screen, giving players the ability to report or group up with other players. Sure. I'm sure I'll understand what that means when it comes out. I don't do the PTRs typically, because, I don't know, I just would rather not just lose everything that I work on.
There's 2 legendary skins coming out.
Yeah, true.
They're both for Reinhardt?
Possibly. I mean, so no more everybody just being the Death Knight Reinhardt, which I kind of like the Death Knight Reinhardt.
I guess this will be my news for the Blizzard Corner, but the whole ARG with Sombra.
Right?
it's gone. I mean, it's got to stop soon, right? I mean, They can't stretch this to BlizzCon, right? There's no way they can stretch it to BlizzCon.
BlizzCon, I doubt it.
Yeah, it's in 2
considering
months.
Considering Anna was just like, hey, everybody, here's Anna, bye.
Yeah, she drops on the PTR 1 week, and then the following week, she's live.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they're gonna. It wouldn't surprise me if they put Sombra up as when they push this live.
Just as like, hey, we'll give no one any time to play on with her. It's her, right?
Maybe.
Because yeah, it's been a great ARG with people decoding everything and
yes.
Blizzard teasing with people, but it's gone too long. It's been what? Like,
yeah, I don't think they're gonna drag it to BlizzCon. I think it wouldn't surprise me that with competitive season 2, they're just like, hey, here's a new character,
and it just completely destroys the meta.
Yeah, right. With a game like this, it would not surprise me if we don't get at least the announcement of a full, like, quote-unquote expansion pack with this. Like a massive hero update and hero launch. It wouldn't surprise me that they keep that at BlizzCon. At least the announcement. Because they can announce whatever they want at BlizzCon. I'm looking at you, Dance Studio. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen in the near future.
True. I mean, like, they can just say, oh, well, we're working on this huge content patch.
That's going to release up to 10 new heroes. And that will make every single Overwatch nerd super happy.
One new hero each month?
Yeah.
That
exactly,
would be amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to launch one new hero every month for the next month, or for the next year.
Wait. Didn't Anna come out in July?
Yeah, wait, they might actually be doing that. All right, so what other Blizzard news do we have, Brennan?
Well, you know, like, there's that whole new Facebook Live thing that Facebook's trying to push onto the world. Have you
had it for, like, 2 years now.
Oh, have they had that for that long?
It's people who do press releases and also celebrities and stuff have had it forever.
Well, now that everybody's a celebrity...
You're all special, special snowflakes.
It's you're not wrong. But Blizzard's doing this thing with Facebook where now you could just, it's a one button thing. You stream everything just to straight to Facebook Live. It's
really easy to use.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Facebook Live needs some love, but it's easy to use. It's easy to set up.
Does it work with OBS and XSplit and all that stuff?
No, it's just a direct yank of your. It's kind of like the.
No. I mean, like
streaming from PlayStation 4.
Okay, no. I mean, like from. I'm talking about like outside of WoW.
Yeah, XSplit has a feature where you could go to Facebook Live. I know that because I was looking at it. But, so couldn't you just take your WoW game? Well, now you don't have to do that, I guess. But. Unless you want your face in the picture and all this overlay stuff. But
bro, it's just like the way that it's set up is basically you hit without going through the capture card, hitting the share button on your PS4.
Okay. I'll probably try it just to see how like is it gonna capture my camera? Do I need to set that up, move it around?
Yeah, I think it's just straight to Facebook.
Yeah.
That's what it's looking like. It's just going to make a Facebook Live post, and your gameplay is going to go straight there.
Oh. I looked into the Facebook streaming, like, just, like, they show you the map, and they show you where everyone's streaming. A lot of church services.
What?
A couple of parties, people being people.
Yeah, but in my stream, like Steve Lynch, does quite a bit of streaming on it now. It's fine. I mean, Blizzard decided to throw their hat in with Facebook Live
Twitch. Blizzard has their hand in Twitch as well. That's where they stream all their competitive stuff.
For now.
It's not a one. Yeah, exactly. I can almost guarantee like the stuff at BlizzCon. It would not surprise me if everything is on Facebook Live.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Right. I mean, okay. I just got a little bit more on this. Facebook just seems a little bit more accessible than Twitch.
Yeah, that's it. Gets it in more eyes. That's all it is. It absolutely just gets it in more eyes.
So what kind of board games have you been playing this week?
So, there is a new D&D 5th edition supplement coming out next week-ish. No, the 6th. Of it's called Storm King's Thunder.
Okay.
It is a level 1 through 11 plus. Provides everything for a dungeon master needs to create an exciting and memorable play experience for the Storm King's Thunder story, including rune magic items and a new treasure option for characters. I'm super excited for this because I think they're giving us the rune master class, which is my favorite playable character class from 4th edition. So, yay!
Hold on, it's not... okay, the price for this is $50. How much does the Prince of the Apocalypse retail for?
When it came out. All of them are 50. Wizard sends them to me. full disclosure, though, I do get review copies of these from Wizards of the Coast. So when mine comes in, I'll probably do a review of it in my review segment, probably on our first real show. It's also because they are partnering up now with Roll20, you can download it digitally for Roll20 for $50 as well, and just it comes with everything that you need to run this campaign. Maps, tokens, pre-generated characters if that's what you want, like everything. It's the complete book within Roll20.
Which, if you want to see people create their brand new characters on Roll20, Geek.io Show.
Yeah, last week's Geek.io Show. Check it out. Thank you, Raul, for pointing that out. But yeah, so that's coming out next week. And then coming up later this year, we have a new Monsters Guy, a Monster Manual coming out in November, which...
No.
Hey, for the record, Brendan, a week before this book isn't coming, I didn't introduce Ice Giants. I introduced that to begin with.
Oh, I take it he's part of your
my in real life evil campaign. But strangely enough, it's worked out this way. Like the week before I get the review books from Wizards, I'm like, all right, cool, we're gonna go invent vampires, and then the vampire book comes, and like before,
oh, no.
We're like, I'm like, all right, cool, we're gonna bring out these demons, and then the demon book comes, and I'm like, cool.
Talking about more D&D, are you gonna want to try and do that morning campaign?
Oh yeah, dude, absolutely. I've already made up an Adventurers League character.
Man, I haven't played in a while. When was the last time we played? We need to do that.
Yeah, we're gonna do it in September.
Okay. Yeah, cause
I gotta get through freaking Dragon Con before I can think about doing anything else right now. Freaking out a little bit. So what else have we got for tabletop news?
Well, I just got some stuff here that says that, like, basically, like, technology and all this handheld crap is making it easier for people to play, and it's making it, like, it's bringing it back, because it fell off there with, like, the general public for a while, but with just technology and stuff, they could... It's making it easier for people.
Yeah, speaking of Roll20, because I decided to just buy a year subscription to it, I can run Roll20 on my iPad now and just have that around. So I might actually end up doing that for our game, Brendan. Just a map view, so that way I'm not drawing out things with my great talent that I have.
What are you talking about? Like, you said that with sarcasm in your voice, and I think your talent is awesome. And I'm a vampire.
Yeah, apparently there are plans of that that I'm not involved with, and I'm not being told what they are.
Uh-oh. Am I getting murdered?
I don't know! All right. So before we get into our review section, we're going to take another quick break from our sponsors. Stay tuned. I don't like it when the wrong one plays. I don't know what that was.
That's Metroid.
The Metroid?
Yeah.
Gadgets, games, and gizmos.
Good enough. I gotta. This is still a beta episode, guys. We'll have better ones when we come back in a couple.
Okay. CJ, I'm gonna go ahead and go first since I have the fewest.
Well, yours is also doubling as the one we're gonna do afterwards. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. All right.
All right. I'm gonna start off because Raul made a comment last week. If we don't want to just have games that we love, so first of all, I'm gonna review I Am Setsuna from Tokyo RPG Factory, a subsidiary of Square Enix. This is basically, it's almost identical in a lot of ways to Chrono Trigger. It is very much so the spiritual successor of Chrono Trigger, with a storyline akin to Final Fantasy X. It is your old school, like, 16-bit, you take a turn, and I take a turn, and I take a turn, and, like, it does the cool thing with Chrono Trigger has, so you have your duo techniques and your triple techniques, and characters that are actually, you know, cool and likable, and even the silent protagonist is back, which, you know, yay, silent protagonist. but, like, that's kind of where the good ends on it. It's a gorgeous game with one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard. I play the sound, that's how I go to sleep every night, is playing the I Am Setsuna soundtrack. Literally for the last 2 months, I've been going to sleep with that soundtrack. But, like, the game needs some love. And in a world where you can patch games, there's no reason for a kind of kludgy interface like this one has, where it just literally just stops working sometimes.
Oh, so it's bad on the technical front.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if they just fix that and maybe added a little bit more content to it, because it's a pretty short game. I'm almost done with it, and I'm, what, 20 hours in?
Oh, wow, that is a JRPG?
Yeah, it is a short game, but the company, or the company pretty much lost its sexual organs with this game, so... It lost so much money on this game because it cost so much to make and didn't bring in hardly anything. So I think it's a dead game, which makes me so sad because it has the potential to be so astounding.
Is that why it launched with a $40 price tag?
Yep. So, I mean, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 because, I mean, it's just like, it's the potential is just right there. But I don't think anything is going to happen with it. And that makes me so sad. I'm going to finish it up and probably never play it again. Next game I'm going to play. Next game I'm going to review is do my 60-minute review for the week. Is a fighting game this time around. Blade Arcus from Shining Battle Arena. If that name sounds badly Japanese translated, it's because it is.
BASBA.
It is. It has a lot of, like, the Shining Force characters in it, as it's basically a really bad Street Fighter clone with obscure Shining Force characters. And I saw them, like, a fighting game with Shining Force characters? Yes, 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 yes! And I got a review copy of this, and I'm like, yes, 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 yes! And I'm playing, and I'm like, why is this game so bad? The controls are horrible. I have played it with the Steam controller, PlayStation controller, and I borrowed a friend of mine's Xbox controller, and they're so unresponsive that, like, you hit a button and it lags for, like, almost a second, and by that time, the dude has already punched you in the face to interrupt your very flashy special moves. It is so slow. It is ridiculous. Like, I went back and replayed. Street Fighter V, and I'm like, okay, because I told you I was kind of disappointed that in the beginning. It was slow. It was kind of non-responsive, and like that got polished. That got great. This is none of those things. It is like they're trying to call back to the old school Street Fighter II days, and just falling on their face. Like, they're not even up there with like Eternal Champions and stuff like that from back in that day. Like, it is just it is a sad, sad thing to be considered a Street Fighter clone and to have Shining Force characters, some of my favorite characters of all time, and just be this miserable of a game. And ask Raul, I secretly love fighting games. Like, I am all about the fighting games. I got the invite to play the beta of Mortal Kombat XL on PC, and I can't wait to play that.
Wait, isn't XL Mortal Kombat 50?
Yes, that's it. No, it's extra large. It's Mortal Kombat X with like the game of the year, and then amped up. They changed a lot of the skins. They updated the graphics of it.
Midway knows how to make
money, so they just re-released it as another game.
But yeah, I have played the new Mortal Kombat, and it's fun, but I'm just not a fighting game person. I mean,
I get it. Like, I don't play them typically, but like when I do, I lose myself in them, as can be seen with us playing Mortal Kombat X. What was it, for almost 2 hours at Dragon Con last year, because we had a group of like 50 people behind us cheering us on. I'm going to give this game a 1 out of 5 only because my own personal rule says I can't give it a 0. I would not recommend this game at all. Do not waste your money. I'm so glad. I emailed the rep that gave me the code for this, and I go, thank you for saving me my money on this.
Is it on Steam?
It's on Steam.
Like, I'm buying it right now.
You have at it. I'm so glad you have that kind of money to blow. I literally played it for 60 minutes to get my 60-minute review in. I'm just like, all right. I quickly, as soon as my 60 minutes hit, I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. Uninstalled.
I mean, it looks like a pretty game. I mean, I'm looking at the...
Yeah, it's certainly pretty.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, what's it called? Marvel vs. Capcom.
It's certainly pretty. Until you get punched in the face when you're trying to do a special move. And so, speaking of kind of calling back, get PlayStation Now, and Injustice Gold Edition is on that. And that game is brilliant. Go play that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just get Street Fighter V and play with me and get owned when I'm playing Ken. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm not playing it right now.
Hmm?
I'm not playing Injustice right now.
Are you seriously playing Injustice right now?
No.
All right. Brendan, what you got for us?
I just bought this early access game that just got released on Steam 3 days ago.
Okay.
It is a medieval action RPG game. It's called Of Kings and Men.
Go on.
It's large battles from what I've been able to play, because the servers keep on going down.
Yay, early access!
Is to be expected by an early access indie game this early on.
Yay, but early access!
From what I've played, I've had fun.
Okay.
And the game has a lot of potential. It's a really fun game. Like, it's just so it's basically...
Like a Warriors kind of thing?
What was that?
Kind of like a Dynasty Warriors kind of thing?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Ish. Dynasty Warriors-ish?
Ish. I guess you could... Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah. But... The controls are terrible.
Those can be fixed. It's still early access.
Basically, what you do the entire game is you take your left mouse button, you hold that down. That's your shield. And then you swing your sword at people. and they die. That's and then people get pissed off at you because they're like, hey, you just hit me, I'm on your team, and you're like, this is war, man. Like, I'm in this thing right now, and I don't care who you are. If you're in front of my sword, that's just where you are. Like, it's a good game. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. It's pretty fun. It has room for improvement, and that might drop. That might go up. Who knows?
Hey, early access is that. I mean, they could do really great things. By the way, I want to give a speaking of early access, Ruby Grim, whatever I called it last week. I replayed it a little bit. It got improved with the re-release from early access. Good job, Rooster Teeth. What else you got?
It was free. Adventure Communist. And your goal in the game is to create a perfect functioning communist society.
Go on.
Off of potatoes, land, mining, weapons, and medicine.
Okay.
It's pretty much Clicker Heroes with some of venture capitalism thrown in, but not too much because, you know, communism. But
at first when I thought you saw this, because I get the Facebook pop-up for adventure capitalist all the time, I thought you were just, like, saying that because you hated it so much you're just going to put communist in there instead of capitalist.
No,
I didn't know that this was actually a game. Oh, my God. I kind of need this.
And at first, I don't really know what to give the game. Like, I've given it. I've gone from 4 to 2 to like it fluctuates with my feeling on the game. Like, I don't know what to give this game. I play it. It pisses me off.
I don't see the game anywhere on the App Store.
No. It's on Steam.
Oh my God! It's on Steam.
Yeah. I've been sitting there playing it for a ridiculous amount of time.
The Trump Tycoon is on iOS.
I sat down yesterday and played Adventure Communist for 3 hours.
Good Lord.
And it was getting somewhere, and then some kind of BS happened, and that's when my rating went down on it. And it was nothing to do with the game. It was purely out of anger. I'm going to give this game a 2 to 4.
I don't think rating systems work like that.
Out of 5, depending on my mood.
Wow.
It's somewhere in between there. Maybe, let's go 3. That's in between 2 and 4.
So
3 out of 5. You would give this a passing score. Out of 100, that's a 70.
To be honest, it's a really fun game.
And it's free, so.
Yeah, and I didn't pay anything for it.
And it's early access?
No. It's early fun.
Hey, that's what counts. All right, I got to hear. Go with the next one. Do it. Just do it.
Okay. Google just did this thing where if you type into your Google search bar, tic-tac-toe, a game of tic-tac-toe pops up right there. And I sat there today getting my butt handed to me by a computer at tic-tac-toe for a large amount of time. And it's just... Just like that.
All right, we'll play tic-tac-toe for the rest of the game.
Like, if you put it on on the hardest difficulty, you're not going to beat the computer. It's ridiculous.
Well, that seemed pretty easy.
Well, that's one flaw it has, but it learns from that after a while. If you keep on putting them in the corners, you're going to win the majority of games. But... If you put it on the next difficulty, You're done.
Derp. All right. How's the? Anyway, just the difficulty. Oh, there's the difficulty. Play against the friends of the. All right, let's do this. Impossible. All right, let's do this. Oh shit! I did learn my. Dang it.
Okay. Welcome to Gamer Geek, where we play tic tac toe.
Yeah, dude, don't judge me.
I did this today for hours. For hours.
It's kind of like the Pac-Man thing that they had a while ago.
I mean, if you just pay attention to it, you can just end up in a tie the whole time.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
I know.
Trying to win. And then they also did a solitaire thing where if you type in solitaire in your Google search bar, solitaire comes up.
Jesus.
Okay. I think we need to move on before.
I also did this for quite a while today too. I was having a good time.
So they can block solitaire off your system, but they can't block solitaire off Google.
Exactly. Take that, Active Directory group policies.
That was fun, right?
That was fun. And now, since my system sounds good to my mixer, I have this cool sound effect now.
I'm gonna give that a 5 out of 5.
Right. For good reasons.
It's classic. You'll never be too old to play a good game of tic-tac-toe.
Exactly. All right. Okay. So we're gonna move on into our retro review. Retro, also, doubling his rows, only review because he's a slacker.
Okay. Actually, my rental review is going to be a review of a game and review of a quicks and a survey. Service. So I decided, you know what, I don't want to. Dragon Con's right around the corner, so let's try out PlayStation Now. It's been out since the beginning of the year, and I'm just learning about it like that day. I bring up the trial. I like, oh wow, there's a lot of games on here, and they just added a bunch of JRPGs to it. And I'm like, let's see, what game do I want to play this week for my stream? So I decided to play God of War. PlayStation 2 game came out in March 22, 2005, and it's your basic hack and slash platformer puzzle game. Simple puzzles like. Push this platform, kill this monster. They have a very interesting one in the very beginning where you actually have to freeze an enemy on top of a switch and then run towards the gate.
Is that better?
1, 2, 3. A little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so basically, it's Greek mythology. You have Kratos, who's a servant of the gods, who's done something very horrible and is going crazy pretty much. So the gods have tasked them with a quest to there's in ancient mythology, Zeus didn't want the gods fighting each other because they would essentially destroy the earth. So they have to fight indirectly between each other. So Kratos is sent off on this grand mission to retrieve Pandora's box.
Hmm?
What's that?
Pandora's box. Oh, wait, PG-13. Never mind.
Okay, so I mean, basic hack and slash, the thing is that this game, like, really put emphasis on the QuickTime events that every game has now, because it had quick time events for every enemy. As when you weaken them down to a certain point, you can like say, oh, do a grab them and throw them, or twist their heads off or pull their eye out on the Cyclops. So pretty much I played the almost one of the earliest games of QuickTime events and one of the more current versions of QuickTime events with the glory kills. And it's got a solid story. Level design is amazing because you go into the level and it's like you start going around, you finish this puzzle, you defeat the first group of enemies, the other group of enemies like scattered around, you find a little mini boss, which is just one of the first mini bosses you fight is a Minotaur. And then as you go on and on, right before you you get special abilities, like you get Poseidon's Thunder, Zeus's Lightning Bolt. But in order, and you also get Medusa's Stare, but before you get them, you need to do like a little challenge to be able to unlock those kills. So with Medusa, you fight her, and then you have to, her quick time event is ripping her head off and using that to freeze everyone.
Seems legit.
Yeah. That's how they did it in the story of, I believe it's Perseus. So pretty much it's like a blend of different Greek stories. And what I'm saying about level design, it's like you go through the whole level to open up one lever to let you progress, and it's like 2 feet. It's the same thing how BioShock was, where it's like walk across the room, cave in, so you got to go the long way around.
Yeah.
And one place I just finished is like you're down in the courtyard, and you go, your whole, it takes about an hour or so to actually finish the whole route, do everything, and then you find out that to progress the game, it's just like 20 feet above you across a bridge. But you had to do all that whole hour just to unlock that one door.
Of course.
But, I mean, it's fun. I mean, they put enough combat in there to keep you interested. It's one of those games where it's just like the gameplay is so good you don't really care how long or how the story is progressing.
Fair.
That's why I'm going to give God of War, I haven't finished it yet, but from what I did finish it a couple of times back when I used to own a PlayStation 2 when it first came out. I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. I mean, level design, story is amazing story. And, though, I had one issue. It had the same issue as, I think it was called Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Where on medium, the enemies, windows for like your attacks were too small. Huh. Where it just felt like you were just beating a wall like for 20 minutes until you finally get it. So in Dante's Inferno, I brought it down to easy, and I actually fell in love with the game on easy mode.
Hey, no judgment here. We're all casual sometimes. Alright, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you guys again for joining us.
Pick up your audio a bit.
Second episode. Huh?
Pick up your audio a little bit.
I turned it down because people were yelling at me.
No, it wasn't your audio. It was your, we'll talk about it after.
All right, so you can, thank you for joining us once again for our second beta episode. We're going to take a couple of weeks off, do Dragon Con, try and get things straightened out a little bit, and we'll be back next few weeks to with a more polished show. You can get a hold of us over at geekioshow@gmail.com. Put Gamer Geeks in the subject line. Facebook and Twitter are both /geekioshow, and our geek hotline is 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. You can support this show and every show in the network over at patreon.com/geekio. And you can watch the video show Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, where we play a different game every week, and join us right here Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern over at geek-io.net/live and twitch.tv/geekioshow. Anything else before we wrap up, fellows?
No, I'm good. No, I thought
I'll probably break and join Legion Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Kind of makes two of us. All right, folks, we'll talk to you next time. Like I said, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. See you soon. Bye.
Laters.
This has been a podcast of the Geek IO Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016. Bye-bye.